From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. I'm sitting across from a guy who's been kind of a repeater. He's worked with a couple of directors twice, Nora Ephron with You Got Mail and Julie and Julia, and with Ben Affleck twice. He's worked with on Argo, and the new film where he plays the smarter and the meaner of the Bartolo brothers of the movie is the adaptation of Dennis Lehane's Live by Night. First of all, Chris, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Elvis.
You played with these guys and Dr. Danny on the Mindy Project. These guys have a big appetite for life, don't they?
They do. Yeah, they do. I mean, that's fun about the gangster genre and this character in particular. It's he loves. I keep saying that he represents the night in Live by Night. He will live this way. He will die this way. He loves being a gangster. What's the opening line of Goodfellas? What does Ray Liotta say? Something like, my whole life,
I wanted to be a gangster.
I wanted to be a gangster.
Yeah.
That kind of kept running through my head as I prepared this and as I did it every day. I watched Pesci and his fun and his love of being a gangster. And I watched Cagney a lot.
You almost move like Cagney in the movie. The shoulders a lot.
That's nice. That's a nice compliment. Yeah, he had a devilish grin and, Public Enemies, and just that he was having fun rising to the top. So that was, I mean, look, that was in the script. It was in what Ben wrote. It was in the book, and
it's definitely in the book. I mean, he's a guy who basically says everything he's thinking at every single moment.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun, really fun experience. I mean, look, they don't make films like that much anymore. I mean, in the 30s and 40s, which this really is an homage to those films, this was the Batman or the, Iron Man or whatever. These were the big blockbuster films. And, Ben has a love for those films, as do I. And to be a part of it was a real honor.
What was your first meeting with Ben like when you met with him for Argo?
You know, both films, I was lucky enough to just be offered the part. So it doesn't always happen to me.
You were saying before we got started that happened with you the first time with Nora Ephron on You've Got Mail.
Yeah, Nora Ephron and Arthur Miller were the early on in my career were jobs I got in the room. And it was never like that again where I auditioned and they said, hey, I want you to do it. And those were remarkable experiences.
What was Arthur Miller like?
He was super cool. He was rewriting during the process. We did The American Clock at the Signature Theater, directed by James Houghton, who recently passed away, a great, great man. He was the artistic director there, and he directed the production. And it was one of those – before that, I had done many off Broadway plays that no one saw or cared about if they came. And so that was a huge break. And to be in the room with Miller and Jim and watching them, work through the play and rewrite some stuff was, it was kind of one of those experiences. I have a picture of me and Miller at home in my house, and I pass by it every day and feel very lucky that I spent that time with him.
It's interesting, too, because in your career, you've worked with a number of people. I mean, even Houghton started as an actor, and you work with Matt Ross in 20 Hotel Rooms and Affleck. And what's it like being directed by actors, I guess I wonder for you?
I love it. I love it. I think actors make great directors. I mean, you're speaking right off the bat, you're speaking the same language. And, my experience with Matt Ross and also Ben, I did a movie called Fairhaven with Tom O'Brien, who's a writer, actor, director. They know the actor's experience, and they know the actor's anxiety and fears and excitement, and they know that if you cast well and you have trust, you can just kind of let the actor go and be free and have wings and fly. And so all three of those experiences, Fairhaven, 28 Hotel Rooms with Matt Ross, and then both Argo and Live by Night with Ben, those were the experiences, which unfortunately isn't always the case, where they trust you to fly, and they'll guide you along the way. But they let you play, and because they let you play, if you give actors confidence, they can be unstoppable. But you have to give them that confidence, and it's so delicate, because I've seen the opposite happen to me, and I've seen it happen to people I've worked with, the wrong direction, or starting perhaps with a no. We're not going to do that, or we're not going to go down that road, or I don't want to explore that at all. It locks an actor up in a way that's could be very hurtful to the project.
Because I would think, too, that one of the things you get from being directed by an actor is they understand how vulnerable you're making yourself.
Absolutely.
And they listen for that, don't they?
They do. Yeah, a smart director does. And sometimes that's what they're looking for. You know, they want to get in, you know, they want to get inside. They want that vulnerability. It's you know, I think I've read it a bunch, and I've seen it a bunch. And sometimes the best direction is not saying much at all, casting and kind of getting out of the way, you know, and then, you know, slightly being pushed a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left. But a lot of times the director gets in the way, and. I always have a problem when a director starts directing before he or she sees anything.
What do you mean?
So, you know, the cameras aren't even set up yet, and you're just kind of walking through something and blocking rehearsal, and they start because they're so excited to direct. And this usually happens to me with younger, greener directors.
First-time directors?
Yeah. Where they're so excited to direct that they think they want to tell you all their ideas that they wrote in their notebook or what they were thinking about before they went to bed the night before. And so they haven't seen anything. So they're already putting you in a box or putting the scene in a box rather than playing jazz with it and kind of seeing what the actors do and feeling the space, because this is new. I might have been thinking of something, of how our conversation was going to be today, but I didn't picture the room like this. And so being open to that. And my experience is when a director is open and collaborates, those are always the most fun. When I directed a small little movie called Alex of Venice, which I'm really proud of. And
you should be. It's a really cool little movie.
Thank you. Thanks. And one of the things I said to the cast when auditioning and meeting people and just talking about it was, I won't say no to you if you don't say no to me. You know, we'll be limited in time, but let's try everything. Let's try as much as we can. And I definitely won't have the answers, but I'll try to steer you as best as I can. But whatever you want to do or try, let's do it.
Well, Alex Venice really was a kind of a slice of life thing where you really wasn't bound by plot so much as it was actually taking place over a period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I like those films. That's what I'm drawn to. Unfortunately, those films don't have always the biggest audience, but everything, you know, I've been playing with ideas of what to direct next, and I have a script that I like a lot, but they're character driven films. They're big events in people's lives, but for the 2017 moviegoer, they might not. There's no explosions, and
but there are sort of these sort of detonations, just the way people sort of inhabit a room together. And I just sort of struck by and Alex, how when two people in a room together, the sort of the temperature of the room changed.
Yeah, to me, that's the explosion, you know, and that's what I'm excited to see. I love actors. I love actors, even the ones I hate. I love. Because, you know, they're you know, it's wonderful. It's like I love you know, I'm kind of an acting dork, really. I always have been, and I always will be a fan of it. And I go to acting classes. I love just sitting in the back and watching.
You still go?
I still go. Sometimes I just watch, and I have a friend, my buddy Tom O'Brien, who I was talking about, who has his own class, and sometimes I'll sit in with him and teach. And then I have coaches and other teachers that I go to on the regular and just work on material. And I'm always fascinated by the. It's so fun to watch an actor grow or move or just start dropping into a character. It's really where I find the joy of it.
It's a treatment. We're talking about actor lovers with my guest, who's an actor and a director himself. My guest is Chris Messina. He's one of the stars of the new Ben Affleck film, Live by Night. And as you're talking about that, though, I think I was remembering something you said to me when I met you. You came to LACMA a couple of years back. And you were talking about how you use a Sam Mendes quote.
Yeah, that I quote him all the time. He said to me, he said, every actor comes with a gift, and it's my job as a director to let that gift out. And that's a little bit of what we were saying earlier about, you know, I think, look, the great directors cast well.
Well, you know, Truffaut said that 90% of directing is casting.
Casting. Yeah, that's what Woody did when I was in Vicky Cristina Barcelona. He cast it. He casts it well, and then he steps back. And
he really gets out of the way, though.
He gets out of the way. Yeah, he lets you go. They said that when I was – so I fly into Barcelona, and I get there, and everybody's nervous because in the past, Woody has – he's fired actors and reshot whole sections of the films with new actors.
Yeah, he reshot September entirely.
Yeah, so you're thinking, you know, I'm going to be that guy. And I remember sitting.
Were you feeling that pressure, really?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm sitting the night before at a dinner with Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz and Rebecca Hall and Scarlett, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm nobody here. You know, I'm going to be the guy to go. And it was funny because as we went around the table, kind of sharing our anxiety, everybody felt that way. They were all nervous as well, and that was very comforting to kind of. Sense that everyone was in the, or at least they felt like they were in the same boat as me. But the producer said, look, if he's not talking to you, if Woody's not talking to you, that's a good thing. And I was like, why is that? She said, well, if he's giving you a lot of direction and a lot of notes, then there's trouble. If he's just not talking to you and letting you go, he's cast well and he's letting you do your thing. So we didn't talk that much, Woody. Thank goodness, and I didn't get fired. So,
what was it like for you on your first day of Alex? I mean, as your first time on the floor directing this movie, and you got like a limited schedule and not a lot of money. What's the first thing you do?
You know, it was really it was very moving. I was very moved that I had talked about directing for quite a while that I had gotten there. I was very thankful to all the people. You know, it's such a sacrifice when anybody does. A movie for you because they're sacrificing their time. In an independent film, they're sacrificing money. They have families. And for a first-time director, they're just hearing me talk about Hal Ashby or Cassavetes or Robert Altman, as everybody does. They're looking at my fancy lookbook, and I'm playing music for them that I think would be really cool for the movie. And it's all kind of BS until you get on the dance floor. And so I was very kind of honored that this great bunch of actors, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Don Johnson, that these people would come to the table and dance with me. But, you know, I was also super excited. A lot of the reasons why I wanted to direct was watching great directors I worked with and trying to steal from them. But also because I've been directed by a lot of crappy directors and had what I thought weren't the most positive or best experiences on a set that would benefit the film. So I wanted to create my own space, my own set, my own environment, stealing from others, but with my own philosophy on how to make a movie, you know.
We're talking about loving actors with my guest Chris Messina. His new film is Live by Night, directed by Ben Affleck, who also stars. It's a treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Back, it's The Treatment. We're talking about loving actors and acting with my guest, who's an actor and a director who worked with an actor-director. He is Chris Messina. The film we're talking about, which we'll be talking about, is Live by Night, directed by Ben Affleck. And as you were talking before the break, I found myself really thinking about that thing that Cassavetes did. There are lots of silent takes in Cassavetes, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he, man, he was something, wasn't he? He was a great actor. What a great actor. Underrated actor.
And a really powerful actor, too. I was just talking to a director about how great he was in the Paul Mazursky Tempest.
He's incredible. He's incredible. And, of course, in Rosemary's Baby. And I love him in Opening Night of his film.
I just did a conversation with Gina Rollins about that at the New Beverly about a month ago.
Wow.
And she was just talking about how much fun that was to do, just having to sort of act as you're acting.
Wow.
And what that's like to do.
The two of them together. Wow. I would have. Opening Night's, I think, one of my favorites of his.
Because?
I don't know. I think because maybe in going with our topic here of loving actors, it's, you know, it's about the theater and about the. There's something he just got so right about that, even in watching the actors rehearse. And I love that kind of offstage, onstage, what's happening offstage and kind of the, you know, seeing that in the dressing room and then how they carry that into the scene and, you know, what is the play and what is reality. All that stuff is really kind of fascinating to me. In Alex of Venice, the film I directed, there's Don Johnson's character is in a Chekhov play. And when I was filming those scenes, I had great actors do me, great New York theater actors come in and do me a favor, great favor of being in those scenes. I could shoot and shoot and shoot that. I cut a lot of it out of the film, but it made me want to do a film about, you know, a traveling troupe of actors working on a play and sleeping with each other and having their fears and dreams all kind of crushing together, you know.
I guess I was thinking about this a little bit with Live by Night just because Dion is kind of a character himself. I mean, he almost recognizes that he's bigger than life in his way.
Yeah.
And what I like about the way you play him is that the shoulders, again, he kind of walks into the room with his shoulders. He's like, so almost like throwing his elbows to get into the room. But his mouth is always slightly open. Like he's almost surprised all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun, it was a great part. I mean, you know, unfortunately, if you do something just halfway decent in Hollywood, I'm sure you've heard this and seen it a million times, you get cast that way, you know. And I think for me, you know, after a slew of character parts in the theater, mostly plays that no one ever saw, but really stuff that was challenging and taught me a bunch, I came to Los Angeles and got on the last six episodes of 6 Feet Under playing a Republican nice guy lawyer. My friends in New York were kind of shocked by that casting, and it was a great experience. But for years afterwards, most people wanted to be me to be a nice guy, a Republican lawyer. So, you know, cut to now, I'm extremely grateful to Ben to see something else.
And you play kind of a non-nice guy Republican in a newsroom.
I do, but I'm still buttoned up in a suit. I barely graduated high school, so the fact that I was running the – I was the president of that company was flabbergasting. But
again, this thing I was saying to you when we at the outset, and I wonder how much of this is you play some of these guys who really like just want to seize life and just sort of just take it all in at once. And I just wonder if that becomes a way for you to inform the characters just to judging how much they want to take in of life as they move through a room.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I guess there's a part of me that just comes that brings that to each character. I know with Dion, it was that love and that excitement of being a gangster and wanting the power and wanting to rise. And you know, it was easy for me to kind of tap into that because I felt that being in the film, I felt like this is so cool. I'm in a gangster car, you know. I'm in this. I got this great suit on, and I'm hanging out next to
and
Ben
smoking cigars all the time.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I'm the right hand man in these movies that were part of me wanting to become an actor. So I could just kind of pass that along to Dion and be like, and he was going, this is so cool. Here I am in Florida, taking over the place. So yeah, I guess there's a Yeah, I guess it's a transference that happens.
I just found it sort of interesting. I wonder if, as you like doing your notes and making your work on character, you sort of say, well, this guy knows what he is.
Yes.
And has kind of almost always known these characters. I mean, I'm even thinking about in 28 Hotel Rooms, how he has to take ownership of each different room, and he tries in very different ways to sort of get what he wants. But he's still sort of saying, this is who and what I am.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, certainly in Live By Night, when making the notes, I was like, why is this, you know, you always kind of, or at least I do, why is this character here in the movie? And why is, you know, what is, you know, then you start going smaller. What is this scene about? Why is he in the scene? Why? And I you know, Affleck's character is definitely, what kind of man do I want to be? Who am I?
A guy who basically doesn't want to be a gangster, and
yeah,
says he's not a gangster all the time, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm an outlaw, he says. And so, yeah, it was very important to whoever I think would play Dion to go the opposite of that, which is, come on, Joe, you're a gangster. We're gangsters. Isn't this, like I said, like Goodfellas? My whole life, I always wanted to be a gangster. Yeah, and, you know, 28 Hotel Rooms, that was an amazing – Matt Ross is an incredible director. That was one of the first films where we kind of created together this utopia. We created this place of, you know, Matt was big on No Video Village, and he was the first person that I kind of talked to about Video Village. And it's necessary because everyone needs to do their job and watch the monitor and all that stuff. But how it can be, you know, you shoot a scene, and then you come back to the village.
Everybody runs back to the village to look at themselves. Yeah,
yeah, and it's a very – sometimes somebody's fully engaged in what's going on, and sometimes somebody can be on their phone, and there's chatter, and there's sometimes there could be too much of a party going on. And so Matt was one of the first people I talked to about how we can destroy Video Village and create a movie – our own way. And again, we weren't changing things or doing things that weren't done before, but we were trying to find a way of working which we both liked, where we can both do our best work. And he's a fantastic director. I look forward to doing more stuff with him.
I guess I asked about this too, because I just wonder, when you're directing yourself, if this is just something you've got to have, just so you have some sense of what you're doing.
Which was kind of remarkable with Ben, and I've been saying this, but I'll keep saying it because until I figure out how he does it and then try to steal it. Because when you're in a scene with him – now, I've done a lot of movies with actor, director, writer, producers, whatever. And a lot of times when you're in a scene with them – and I think I did the same thing when I acted and directed, okay? You're seeing – so if we're in the scene and you're the director and star of the movie, I see in your eyes you looking at me going, that's not the way I kind of thought this would go, or I'm going to let Chris finish this politely and then I'm going to correct all the bullshit he's doing, right? With Affleck, there's none of that. When you're in the scene with him, I swear to you, I was really talking and looking at Joe, and I was Dion, and we just play the scene. We would cut and we'd go back to the monitor, and we would play it back. And we'd watch it, and then he would become the director, and he put on that hat. It was very much like a magic trick, and he did it very gracefully, and he did it with ease, and it's hard to do. But the playback monitor, especially in a movie with like Live By Night, when there's a lot of extras and a whole town we created and all these old cars, you have to see what you're doing. I mean,
We should say the movie goes from Boston to Ybor City, and it's this thing that Lehane does as a writer. He creates these cities all the time. There are always these environments, and you've got to be, as a director, entirely conscious of this world you're creating on camera.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he needs to see his performance, because you can feel, as an actor, sometimes what happens is you feel, which is an interesting thing that I don't understand, you feel like it went well, a scene, and then you would either go back to the monitor and watch it back, or in dailies or in the editing room, and a take that you thought was so good and so right and would definitely be used is not that great. And take seven, where you were like, I don't know, is the take you'll use or the one that was best for the moment or for the films.
I guess I wonder too, because as you just said, you work so often with writer-directors. Is that easier to do?
Sometimes, because sometimes, if they know the film inside out and they've been preparing for the movie for so long as they put it on the page, so their knowledge of the film and the characters is incredible. Sometimes, and not with Ben or Matt Ross or Tom O'Brien, but in other cases, sometimes they could be so in love with their stuff and not be open to an improv or something like that. Like on Mindy Kaling's great like that on The Mindy Project. She's a master improvisation. And everybody on that
They're all improv people, aren't
they? They're incredible. I mean, all the entire cast. I would sit there in awe of the stuff that would come out of their mouth. How they could it would be hysterically funny, but they're also telling the story in this new light. So that's someone who's a writer, actress who we would get the lines as written, but then the floor would open and the stuff that they would say would be incredible. And she would invite that, you know.
Because I guess I was asking that because this takes me back to what we were talking about in the first half, that these people who they've written this thing, they've lived with it for a long time, they have almost a fixed idea of what they want.
Yeah.
And they might not be open to the acting part of the experience.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's I think the bottom line is you run into trouble. I mean, I think somebody great said it. I think it was Warren Beatty that I read said this. Is like, if you're going to just shoot the script, then you might as well read it. And that's great. Because, look, and I'm just, if there's writers out there listening to me right now, they're probably, they might be pulling their cars over and like slamming on their horns. So I apologize. Look, the words are beautiful. And when it's great writing, you want to say it, and an improvisation a lot of times can deflate the story and the character, and is not necessary. But improvisation, and sometimes when I say improvisation, I don't mean a new line or something funny. I mean, it's just sometimes behavior. It's just I pictured them. I wrote them to be sitting discussing with microphones, and maybe I want a pace here, or maybe I decide to get up, and walk around and have this conversation. And it might not be right, but you have to let the actor try that, because then when they go back, when you say, try it again sitting down, something new is they're going to bring to it. And it might open it up in this big way. A lot of times I'd like to go away from the words and then come back. So go away from the words, paraphrase, make it your own.
Let them play the intent.
Exactly. Say it how you want to say it, then come back to the words, and sometimes there's a new understanding of what they're saying.
I can't believe we're out of time. You got to come back and do the show again.
I'd love to. I love being here. I'm a huge fan of yours. I listen to you all the time, so it was great to be here.
My pleasure. My guest who's causing traffic jams all over L.A., over writer-directors, is Chris Messina. He's one of the stars of the new Ben Affleck film, Live by Night. Our recording engineer here at NPR West is Leo DeLacula. Happy belated birthday, Leo. The show is mixed by Kat Yores, edited by Blake Veit, who's also associate producer. I have nothing left to say. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.